Good morning, some of these. It's great to see you this morning. Welcome. It's nice that the sun coming through the window, isn't it? And it's exciting to be together this morning because we're celebrating the Lord's Supper together as one big family. And so that's why we love having all the kids and children in with us, because it's actually a time for grandma and granddad and mum and dad and the kids to be learning and listening and asking questions. So this is a great time. And today... So actually, kids, why don't you come up the front, if mum and dad or somebody want to come with them, that's fine. We can make some space up the front, because today I've got some special kids stuff to do. We're thinking about, I'm not sure if you can even see that because of the sun, but we're thinking about the love of God. So I've got a big red heart here to represent that. We're thinking about the love of God. Hello, kids. Love is an interesting word, isn't it? Love. Love is an interesting word because I think we actually use the word love in lots of different ways. I don't know if you've thought about that. We often use the word love in different ways. So, who here loves pizza? Does anyone love pizza? I love pizza. It's great, isn't it? Because you can make it at home with the dough, you get the flour, you make a huge mess, and you can put all that red paste on it. And then what else can you put? Cheese, and you can eat the cheese as well while you're putting it on there. Yeah, and I love pizza. I love anchovies and mushrooms, but you know what my kids love the most on pizza? Pepperoni. Do you like pepperoni? If you've got a favourite pizza topping, maybe you like ham or pineapple or just cheese or more cheese. I love pizza. I love making pizza. I love eating pizza. I love cooking pizza. Love pizza. So that's one thing that we love. We use the word love, don't we, to talk about pizza. We love pizza. What about this one? Who knows what this is? Soccer. Has anyone been playing soccer this season? Yeah. It's a great game. I love soccer. My wife loves soccer. We actually met each other. Well, no, we didn't actually meet each other playing soccer. We used to play soccer against each other. And you know, she did a slide tackle and completely knocked me over. So that was a bit embarrassing. But I love soccer. Who loves soccer? It's a great game, isn't it? I love sport, and it's great because you can kick the ball, and you can, what else can you, you can do a big header, hopefully get a goal, you can pass it to your friends, and they can shoot for a goal. There's lots of fun things about soccer, and maybe you don't love soccer, maybe there's another sport that you love, but soccer is a great one, and we can talk about loving sport. But here's the thing. So there are two things that we love. We might love pizza, we might love sport. But it's a little bit different, isn't it? This next one, who loves their mum? Oh, good. I was a little bit worried there. Everybody loves their mum, but it's a little bit different when we're talking about loving our mum. Because if you say we love pizza and that we love mum, doesn't mean that we want to eat mum, does it? That would be a bit weird. And if we say we love soccer, and then we love mum, does it mean we only love mum for one season of the year? No, it doesn't. So it's different, isn't it, when we say that we love our mum. So we actually use the word love in different ways. And here's the thing, do you know that God, he actually has different kinds of love as well. And so the first love of God that I want to talk about this morning is the love of God that he actually has for himself. Did you know that God loves God? That's a bit weird, isn't it? Here's the thing. So here we go. I've got a little crown here to represent God, and he loves God. And what I mean by that is that God, the Father, loves Jesus, the Son. So when Jesus was growing up and he got baptized, you know, he heard a voice from heaven, and it said, "This is my son whom I love." I don't know if it sounded like that. Probably didn't. But it said, "This is my son whom I love, and with him I'm pleased." And then a little bit later on, Jesus went up on a big mountain, and I've got a picture of a mountain here, and he took some of his disciples with him. And you know, he heard a voice from a cloud then again. And do you know what it said? It said, "This is my son who I love." So God the Father was speaking to Jesus, the Son, saying, "I love you." And Jesus, just before he went to the cross, he was in the garden, and he was praying to God, and he said, "God, I love you. I love the Father, and So Jesus loved God the Father, and God the Father loved Jesus. And who here knows what the fruit of the Spirit is? What's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Yes!
Love!
It's love and joy and peace, you know, so many of them. Awesome. So love is the fruit of God's Spirit. So we've got God the Father loving Jesus the Son, and we've got Jesus the Son loving God the Father, and we've got the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And so God is actually full of love. But within God himself, there's lots of love going around. And so, did you know that God's love actually overflowed? It overflowed. He has so much love inside himself that it overflowed. He doesn't need love. He's got so much of it that it overflowed, and he created a world with people in it. And God loves everything that he has made. When God made the world, he looked at it and he said, it's good. It's really good. And he loves everybody in his world. So, I've got another bit of paper here to represent that. And I'll explain this in a little bit. Because are these people happy or sad? Or mad? You think they might be mad? Do you know what? The problem is that all of us actually, our hearts turn away from God and we don't like God. But do you know what? God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. So every morning, the sun comes up. Even if I've been bad, the sun comes up. And God sends his sun on us. And he says that that's why we should even love our enemies, because God sends his sun to rise on the good and the evil. And not just the sun, guess what else he sends? Who's experienced a bit of this recently? Haven't we had weeks of rain? Yeah, and God sends his rain. He makes it rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So good people and bad people, we all get rain because God cares for us and loves us. And here's a really important verse. You might know this one. John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world, even the world, not so much the world in its bigness, but the world in its badness. Because all of the people, all of us are bad on the inside, and God loves the world. He loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us so that we can have eternal life through him. And, oh, here's one. Who loves watching rescue shows? Do I have rescue shows? I'm not talking about Paw Patrol. Paw Patrol's a rescue show. But this verse tells us that the Lord, he doesn't want anybody to perish. He's patient with us. He wants us to come to him and repent, to turn away from the bad things we do, because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to be rescued. So God has love for everybody. God has love within himself. He's full of love. And God has love even for bad people. All the people in the world, and when we don't follow and love God, he still loves us. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? But you know, there's a special kind of love. We've talked about two kinds of love. The love that God has within himself, that God is full of love, and then the love that God has for everything that he's made. And here's the last one. God loves his family. So let's put that up. Shall we do that? God loves his family. Did you know that when I got married, I had to make some promises? Well, I wanted to make some promises to my wife. And I said to her, I said, in good times and in bad times, I'm going to love you. When you're sick or when I'm sick, we're going to love each other. Whether I'm really poor or really rich, we're going to love each other. So we made some promises when we got married. And did you know that that's actually a picture of God? Because he makes special promises to his family. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says things like, did you know there's nothing in all of creation that can separate you from my love? So God loves us so much. Christ loved the church. Marriage is a picture of God's love for us and the promises that he makes to us. There was a man called Paul, and he wrote some of the letters in the Bible, and when he was writing them, he did a really funny thing. Have you ever written a letter? When you write a letter, you write, how do you start it? Dear, and then you write their name usually, don't you? He was writing to a whole church, but you know what he did? He didn't say, dear Sarlies. This is what he wrote. He said, to all in Rome who are loved by God. So he wrote, "Dear loved by God."
That's funny, isn't it?
Because he knew that all of those special people that were part of God's church were loved by God. And those Christians went through some really hard times, really difficult things. But he was writing to them and he said, "You are loved by God." There was another person, you know, I have a scene here. And we're looking at the big book of John at the moment in the Bible. And he wrote about Jesus' life. And you know, he did a funny thing too. He was writing a story about Jesus and how he met Jesus and the time that he spent with Jesus. But instead of writing his name John, do you know what he wrote? He wrote the disciple Jesus loved. The one Jesus loved. So he said, "I was going down the road with Jesus, and there was the disciple who Jesus loves." And so instead of writing his name, he wrote the disciple of Jesus loved, because he understood that the most important thing about him was not even his name. Imagine if I came up to you and said, "What's your name?" And you told me your name, and I said, "I'm somebody Jesus loves." That'd be different, wouldn't it? But that's what John did. He said, "I'm the disciple. I'm somebody who Jesus loved." And he thought the most important thing about him was that Jesus loved him. So it's interesting, isn't it? God has got some different types of love. Love within God, love even for his enemies, and a special love for his family. And you know that the Bible invites us all into this special kind of love with God, because it says we can become God's children by receiving Jesus, by believing in his name. And if we do that, we'll have the right to be called children of God. So you can say, I have a daddy in heaven and he is God. Isn't that pretty cool, isn't it? We can come into that special love. And he says that everyone who comes to God, he won't turn them away. So if we come to God, he will invite us into his special love as his family. So I'm going to pray now and ask God will help us to do that. Let's pray. You've done such a great job listening, kids. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be your children by believing in Jesus' name, by receiving him. And we pray, Lord, for all of these children here and for all of us grown-ups, that you would help us to keep believing in Jesus, to keep trusting in him. And Lord, we thank you that we can be part of your special family that you love, children that you love. And we just pray that you help us to understand more of how deep and how high and how big is your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, kids. You've done a great job listening.
Well, we're thinking about God's love this morning, and as we do that, I want to read to you some verses from Romans chapter 5, and I wonder if you could just listen as I read these verses. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We've been thinking about God's love this morning, but there are many things that can make us doubt God's love for us. Perhaps you watch the news and you look at the world around you and you think, here is a world ravaged by war and disaster. How could God possibly love us? Or perhaps in your own experience, there have been things that make you question God's love for you in particular. And don't our own hearts sometimes rise up within us to condemn us rather than to assure us of God's love? You see, how can we know that God loves us? How can we know? Well, of course, we've been reading from the Bible, and the Bible tells us God loves us. But this morning I want to just very quickly mention three other things that can help us to be assured of God's love for us. And the first one is through the cross. That God demonstrated his own love for us in his death for us while we were still sinners. You see, there is actually an event, a time and a place in history that we can look back to and say, I know that God loves me because that took place. As Christians, we also participate, we share in Christ's sufferings as we too are conformed to his image. And as we look at the cross, we can say, I know that God can turn evil and use it for good. And so our hearts can be filled with hope as we look back to the cross and know that God has demonstrated his love for us. That's the first one, the cross. The second one is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. You see, as well as the historical demonstration of God's love on the cross, an event in history, there is also for us Christians an inner subjective certainty that God loves us that is given to us by his Holy Spirit. Yes, even an emotional sensation within the believer that God does indeed love us. Because by the Spirit, we spontaneously cry out, Abba, Father. We speak to him as our Father, and the Spirit himself testifies or witnesses with our spirit that we are actually children of God. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit is a seal, if you like, of God's love. It's guaranteeing the full expression of God's love to come. When I, early on in my Christian life, I doubted that I really was a Christian because I was struggling a lot with particular sins. And I still struggle as a Christian with sin. But sometimes that conflict made me doubt God's love. Why is it that I still keep falling into the same sins? And how can God keep forgiving me when I keep sinning? And I wondered, could God really love me? But the witness of the New Testament is actually that that conflict between the Holy Spirit and our sinful nature is actually a proof, a demonstration that we are God's children. Because before, we didn't have his Spirit. It was just the flesh. It was just our sinful nature. But now as Christians, we have the Spirit, and that makes us fight. It makes us war inside. And even that conflict, we can take assurance and comfort from that we really are God's children because we're no longer content to wallow in the mud of sin. We will fall, we will slip, but we're not content to stay there. And so even that can be an assurance of God's love for us. The third one, this is the last one, we're coming to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. And so I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 11 because I believe that as well as the cross in history, as well as the Holy Spirit living within us, God has also given us as a church the Lord's Supper to assure us of God's love. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 23, Paul says, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given. And here are the words that assure us of his love. It is given for you. Do this, he says, in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant. Do you remember the picture of the bride and her husband? That Christ and the church, that's what marriage is all about. Well, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remember the new covenant, the promises that were made between Christ and his church, which was bought by his blood, a new relationship which can never be broken. And then he says, whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So as we celebrate and remember the death of Jesus, it also points us forward to look to anticipate his return. We know that he loves us because he's not going to leave us here, wallowing in this mess, frustrated with sin, battling with sin, suffering and going through this broken, fallen world, which is crying out, it's yearning for Christ to return. We know that he loves us because he's coming back. And so I just want to encourage you in those things this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us this simple meal, bread and wine, a juice that helps us remember your body and your blood that were given for us. And we pray, Lord, that as we take it today, that you would assure our hearts through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, through your word, and because of the cross of Jesus, that you would assure us that you love us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.